Hello, cyclocross friends, and thanks for tuning in to episode 143 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, it's Katarina Nash, Olympic athlete in both Nordic skiing and also the mountain bike, six-time winner of cyclocross World Cups, multiple podium finisher in the cross-country mountain bike. Katarina Nash is awesome, and it was great to talk to her in her 18th year with the Cliff Pro Team, one of the first women signed to that team and the only original member still with the Cliff Pro Team. Was able to catch up with Katarina during the Cliff Pro Team camp, which happened last week. Had a great conversation. We talked about cyclocross, we talked about mountain biking, and then we actually spent the second half of the interview going over her involvement in the UCI with being the representative, the athletics representative on the UCI committee, and just getting her input into some of the issues that we've been discussing recently on Cyclocross Radio, you know, especially surrounding equality and where the sport is going in the future. So great conversation. Want to get you all into that as soon as possible. But before we do, I want to quickly tell you about Health IQ. Health IQ, they are a life insurance company that advocates for a health conscious lifestyle. What does that mean? That means that they use science and data to get lower rates on life insurance for the health conscious, including those who exercise four times a week through cycling, weightlifting, swimming, running, stuff that I know you all are already doing. Did you know that people who are highly active through exercise have 22% lower cancer risk, 50% lower heart risk, heart disease risk, and 34% lower risk of early death? Health IQ knows that, and that's why they want you to check out them for life insurance, because they know you're a better risk and they can give you lower rate. Go to healthiq.com/WAP, that's for wide angle podium, and check it out. Take the quiz, qualify, and get in contact with Health IQ. Just even looking, just go make your way through those clicks. That's going to help us here at the network, and it's something that we would love to you to do. healthiq.com/WAP. I'm not sure scientifically if coffee drinking is going to help you get lower rates from Health IQ, but it's something you should do regardless, and we have the hookup for you for coffee. If you go to wideanglepodium.com on the right-hand side, you will see the Grimpure Brothers link over there. They have special WAP coffees, including the full Schleck. And also the Hello Cyclocross Friends coffee. I want you to go and get both of them. And while you're at Wide Angle Podium, check out all of the awesome shows we have to offer. Oh, geez. Also, roller derby. Roller derby. Don't forget about roller derby. Go on to wideanglepodium.com. Click on the roller derby link. If you become a member, you get more points. It's parimutuel betting, but it's just for fun. There's no money involved. It's only points, but it's awesome. It's makes pro cycling that much more exciting. We want you to be a part of it. I gave myself this little mandatory stop point, and it's coming up really quick, and I don't want to record over top of the actual interview. So we're going to stop here, and the next thing you're going to hear is my conversation with Katarina Nash on episode 143 of Cyclocross Radio, and we are doing that right now. Nailed it. All right, we can start. All right, Katarina, I think most of the people who are going to listen to this know who you are and have followed your career, but just in case there are some who have not, can you just give me the life story? Especially with racing, you know, and switching sports, and just how your mm-hmm. career started.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be part of this. And so I grew up in Eastern Europe, started with gymnastics, track and field, mm-hmm. and eventually landed on cross-country skiing, which was kind of my early, found some early success. And of course, in the summer, we rode bikes, and then got so lucky while I was attending ski academy. One of our coaches came came in and said, you guys want to ride these mountain bikes? You know, it's like, yes, yes, I do. And so around 16, that's where it all started for me. I went on with my ski career. I went to two Winter Olympics, skied in college in the United States. That's kind of how I got to US. And at the end of my skiing scholarship, I decided to give the cycling, like, let's give it a try. Let's see if I can find a team. And my ultimate goal was to complete education here, get through the college, but I couldn't ski anymore. I just ran out of my eligibility. So it's like looking at 2 years of, I want to ride my bike. And So I found the team, and that's been my team for the last 18 years.
Yeah, so that was just, you were basically in the beginning of the Cliff program, or Luna at that time.
Yeah, I'm the original member from 2002, and it's quite incredible to think about the fact that I just, you know, I had a little bit of cycling background for sure. I wasn't quite fresh into it, but skiing was, up to that point, that was everything I kind of knew and focus on. And it's been amazing because I was able to do, you know, full mountain bike kind of campaign with the domestic, then later on to the World Cup, going back to the Olympics, Summer Olympics. And then at some point, pretty late in my career, well, not late in my career, but later on, I was able to add cyclocross. So it's been great to combine all of it, winter, summer, different cycling disciplines. And I think that's really what kept me in the sport for so long, is just the diversity and always trying something new.
Yeah, and that's what it was like, trying something new. And we see it actually more on the women's side with the men switching from one discipline to the other. But when did you know, you first become aware of cyclocross, and how was that something that you said, hey, maybe that's something I should give a shot?
Well, it's funny because, you know, growing up in Czech Republic, obviously cyclocross always been on TV, and, you know, like your weekends, definitely you check all the sports, and they do really, the Czech TV does really good job covering all kinds of sports, but cyclocross was always there. So I remember watching cross, and you know, just there wasn't women's cyclocross back then, you know. So then I moved to the United States and joined Luna. And I think the very first year, Allison Dunlop was heading to nationals and doing a few cross races after the mountain bike season. I was like, hold on, you doing, what are you doing? Like, I couldn't believe. And she's like, oh yeah, we've had it going on here for years. And so then it still took me a few more years until essentially Georgia came along in 2006, and she already did a year or two of cyclocross racing on top of her mountain bike season. And that was around the time that my team was sort of adding Xterra, and they were like, you guys, you know, can you do more on top of this mountain biking? And I was like, I'm not gonna go swimming, so can I do cyclocross? And so we headed out with Georgia and the team to first race in, I think it was Gloucester. And that was my first cross race. And we're like practicing day before. They're like showing me how to remount, dismount, and of course messing around the way we do. They give me Georgia's bike, and you know, most people probably know that Georgia's a lot taller than me, so here I am trying to jump on her bike and just cracking up. But regardless of all that, I had so much fun in that first cross race, and I've been doing it ever since. So,
did you feel like since the focus was really on mountain biking that it was something that there was less pressure, and it was just something that you could do at first until then it sort of equaled out eventually?
I don't know. I think it was just like little closer to cross country skiing as far as distance. And I, you know, at that point we were coming off mountain bike racing. You know, when I started, it was like 2.5 hours, and then got a little shorter. It was like 2 hours, 2:15. And now you're here in this like 45 minutes, just super dynamic, competitive. You're racing with people. And that was just closer to what I kind of did growing up, you know, not completely, because when I started ski racing, it wasn't like now. It was a lot of the time trial starts, you know, stuff like that. But we had few mass starts, and so just, I don't know, I just love the sport itself. And I get pretty serious about it pretty quickly. Having said that, mountain biking's always been priority for my team, and that's kind of, you know, every year when I was choosing, am I going to ride for this team or not, like I knew mountain biking will be part of the deal, but I figured out a way to keep cross fun yet pretty serious schedule, because I just wanted to be part of it, you know. And
yeah, it's interesting with the cross country skiing, especially how it looks today. That's the first thing that I forget when it was. It's probably 8 or 12 years ago. Just watching the Olympics and seeing the mass start races, and I'm like, this is playing out exactly like a cyclocross race. It was kind of the same thing, you know. The start super important to get out there, and then just sort of the jockeying, and then it's that last lap to say, you know, really. I was like, really, like this is like cyclocross except on skis.
Yeah, kind of. And I think, like I said, like I didn't race many of those events. Like I don't remember ever winning a ski race based on tactics or anything like that, you know. But I think the sort of the max effort, you know, of just going just super hard and then descending, but nothing is, you know, nothing is super long hill or super long descent. So that kind of constant effort, I think it just, my body was trained for that, and then thrown into that cycling environment where I was coming off a really successful short track career. Like back in the day, we would joke around that, you know, like if short track was a big deal, I would be a big deal. I won a lot of them, but so, you know, and that was, once again, like I love the short track because it was just, it was just competitive versus some of the older mountain biking where really they were like a minute gap, 2 minute gap, you climbing for 20 minutes, you don't see anybody, you know, that kind of racing just never suited my mental capacity, I guess. Like I like to be around people, and kind of that helps me to push probably harder. And so cross was just that little longer short track, I think.
And now over time, the cross country, especially like XCO racing and cyclocross, it's almost like they're starting to meet in the middle. Yeah, I mean, the cross country race is much shorter, much bigger group racing. It's almost like the same tactics have moved over.
Honestly, that's when, I mean, maturing and kind of putting the years in, but that's when I found the, like my results improved dramatically when that race got half an hour shorter, and I was suddenly able to stay in the game a little longer on the cross country side. And most of my best results came later in my career.
Yeah, so it sounds like you like to be sort of in the thick of the competition. It's not just sort of put your head down and go, but sort of racing against other people.
Yeah, it's funny because I, you know, I've done everything, including Leadville. Like I've got through it, and it's like I'm capable of doing that. Like I have the years of training and the you know, the endurance, but it's just really, I just get bored after a few hours. I like to go hard for, for a little bit and then be done with it. And so, I mean, I like all of it, but like gearing up for 100 miles, that to me is just like not that exciting. Going out and hammering for 45 minutes, that's lot more like my cup of tea, you know?
Yeah, so you had been racing, you know, especially like with Worlds, with the national team for Czech. When did you have to sort of push yourself into the cyclocross side for that, or did they ask you, you know, for like doing Worlds and that and that type of competition?
It's funny because I raced the USGPs, and that was, I mean, I couldn't have had better start into cyclocross because it was just like, it was a great extension of the mountain bike season. It wasn't really big, heavy cross season. Yet those 4 weekends we did, those 8 races, it was just enough to kind of really get a feel for cross. And then the courses were so fun and diverse, and the series was run so well. So we're like, oh my God, now we're like making all this money and winning more races. And so everything about it was just, I was hooked. And then I think with the World Championship in Tabor, the 2000, sorry, I can't remember.
I can't even remember the years.
The dates, but like not the last one, the one before.
Yeah,
I
for sure.
I actually got approached by the national team coach, and he sort of said, hey, if you come race in Europe will help you out. And that's the, that's all I kind of needed to kind of make the trip. So I went over and I think I met those guys at European Championship somewhere in France. And I landed like a little bit sooner before the team showed up, maybe a day or day two, and he made the effort to drive and meet me out there and help me out. And I just remember, like, they were just so clueless as what racing in the US is all about. And I remember just seeing him at the course, and I was just riding the course, and his chin just kind of dropping. He's like, "Oh my God, you actually know how to do this." Like, he was completely shocked that I know how to, like, remount, dismount efficiently. And I'm like, yeah, like, I've been racing for a few years, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think I went on and got like third place the next day. And he's like, "Oh my God, what do you need? How can we get
all of a sudden the support just sort of jumped up a little."
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so thanks to that, kind of like, you know, they couldn't do a whole lot for me. But the fact that, like, if I landed somewhere and there was somebody to help me out, to pick me up, so I didn't have to do everything by myself, that was like, that's all I needed to kind of get introduced into the European racing. And then it really went on, you know. I kind of caught the bug, and I was like, you know, I've gone to a lot of races, you know, on my own in the rental car back in the day where the women's parking was like 2 miles behind the town. But I get pretty resourceful. I figure out ways to be like, pretend like I'm with Szymunek or Stibar, and they're like, "Oh, well, I guess she knows how to pronounce the name, so she must be part of that, you know." So I just park right next to them with my little rental car. And yeah, so it was great. I just really, really enjoy cross, both here and in Europe. And I'm just thankful I had the chance to, like, see it all and see it grow and see where it's gotten now. That's
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, in that time, because you had such great success racing over there that, I think that people look at you and they, "Well, is she a mountain biker or is she a cyclocross racer?" You know, because it's really, I don't even know. I mean, yeah. What would you say?
Well, I think I'm both, yeah. You know, and I definitely, yeah. I mean, the cross people will probably know me from that, but I was third overall on the World Cup for mountain biking. I won a World Cup race. I've been fifth at the Olympics. Like, I'm a very accomplished mountain biker.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, it gets kind of like, you know, as I float through the different cycling world, I think people forget, and now we see a lot of mountain bikers coming over, or the crossers going there, and like, there's a lot more. Back in the day, it was just a couple of us, you know, with Mariana kind of leading the charge, sort of combining those two, and now it's becoming this standard, you know. And it will be fun to watch how people manage it, because it's a tough combo.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just had too much fun racing cross. I was never, you know, even if I was just fried at the end of the mountain bike season, I figure out how to do cross and be part of it. But that also, like, I never really, you know, I've never done the full World Cup. I was always very strategic about race some in the US in the fall, then go over for Christmas, do the Worlds, while, you know, putting in the miles so by March I can be competitive on the mountain bikes.
But
so,
to your credit, it was almost, and as a somebody watching, it was almost more fun, because you were always a threat when you showed up to those races, so that you weren't there every week and then, "Oh, well, Katarina's there," and then it was sort of a different dynamic, because I know people were wondering which races you were showing up, yeah, for and race. So that actually kind of made it neat that you weren't doing the full season, because it was like, okay, well, this race, we're not, you know, watching the people we watch every week at the front, but we got her in there too. It was gonna mix it up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I definitely, you know, I had a lot of World Cup podiums in those years, and like, my first World Cup podium came at the cyclocross, you know. So even though I was just like working on the mountain bike for lot longer, I was definitely pretty successful on the cross side pretty quickly. But yeah, it was, you know, it was hard almost, because I kind of doing a little bit of everything. Like, I almost got to the point that people just were really disappointed with me because I wasn't everywhere. And you know, including the national team, that, you know, they could help me a little bit in the pits and stuff, but not financially. So they didn't quite understand, like, why you're not coming for European World Championship. I'm like, buy me a ticket, I might, but probably not. So, yeah, so it was just, like, funny because people were like, well, you, like, what, you do your own schedule or what? Like, you just float around, you know? I'm like, yeah, but I kind of, like, I already have a full season of mountain biking. That's always been focus of Cliff Pro Team or Luna Pro Team. And that's what I, you know, when you sign the contract, that's what you're choosing. So, you know, I had to make sure I did a good job there. And for a good chunk of there, I could kind of go back and forth. But then as you get older, you're like, oh, okay, I gotta slow down a little bit. And that's kind of what I've been doing the last few years.
Yeah.
So.
What about not to go back to this, but I am curious just about the last time Worlds were in the Czech Republic. It seemed like there was a undue amount of pressure put on your shoulders for that, to be successful in that race. And that, almost unfairly, it seemed like
yeah, everybody... it was, you know, racing at home is super, like, it's awesome, but it's also hard at the same time. And I don't live in the Czech Republic, you know, I come in, so I don't live in this, like, European kind of, like, stardom, like, you kind of talk to the media all the time. I just kind of, you know, I wasn't part of social media for the longest time. I just kind of like to, you know, I was the old style athlete, just showed up, do your good job, and, you know, talk to everybody who wants to talk to you, but not telling the life story daily, or, you know, and that all has changed in the sport, you know, but not necessarily for me. I still kind of keep my distance a little bit. So yeah, every time I just landed in Czech, it was just like this, you know, and I can handle it, like, it for sure. But what happened in Tabor, the second time around, was just essentially Štybar didn't race. And then they were like, oh, who's the next person we can kind of do this. And so, you know, I was super prepared. I did really good job. But my racing style is just full out. That's how I always race. And that's how I've been successful. You know, unfortunately, I'm not sure, I'm not that, like, person who's going to ride 90% and be safe. I'm just like, I'm just going to go for it. And that comes with mistakes. And
that race was on an ice rink, basically.
Yes. Which, you know, like, if I could eliminate one thing from cyclocross, it would be just ice. I'm like, why aren't we skiing? Like, you know, but I, you know, I did really good job, but I move into third place. I pass Marianne Vos on the uphill, and I push myself to the point that it just so easy to make mistake. And I did, yeah. You know, I slid on the corner, and then I slid one more time. And that's when Nikki Bremier passed me, and, like, I didn't even remember the second crash. Like, I was that tapped out, that, like, I just went to that max, you know. So, yeah, I made two mistakes. I was, you know, a few seconds behind a medal. I was really, I think, within 20, 30 seconds winning the race.
It was, like,
one of the most exciting races. But, you know, it's just, like, I've dealt with that mentality. Just, it's all about winning, and the media is they're just harsh sometimes, you know. And even though I walked away, yes, I was disappointed, but I also, like, I rode as well as I could, and that's all you got at the end of the day. So you know, I was proud of my ride. I wish it was kind of a better ending, but yeah, it's been challenging to deal with some of that pressure, just because I feel like you just, like, you didn't perform to the standard.
What I found is a lot of times that fans and also the media, like, take these losses harder than the actual athletes do.
Well, I don't think so, because the athletes, they're doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's heartbreaking. Like, going to London for me and not having a good race, it was heartbreaking. I was like, I'm never going to the Olympics again, you know. So I, you know, they may feel that way, but I think the athletes are more rational. They know it could happen, you know.
Of course,
we enter every race with the possibility of, like, you going out there to win it, but with every week throughout your life, throughout your career, every race, you kind of have to build this immune system of like, you know, not everything's going to go according to plan. And how do I deal with that? You know, and honestly, like that's been big positive for my career because, yeah, I'm pretty hard on myself, but it only lasts for a little bit. And then I go into the mode, what do I take from it? And how can I get better? You know, and that's why you see progression in my career later into my years, because I just finished so many mountain bike season, quite frustrated that I was like, what do I need to do to come back and be better? And I did for most years. I just come back and I'm either same or a little better or just kind of up there, you know? So,
yeah. No, that's huge. Like that mental part of it is such a big part that I think people discount sometimes when they shouldn't. You're talking about, you know, living in the US and then not, and then just sort of jumping over and racing in Europe. Do you know, like for Sporza, sometimes they'll screw up. And when you're racing like a cyclocross World Cup and they'll put like a US flag next to your name.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's, you know, I saw some other big mistake this year where I was just kind of cracking up.
We're always very excited about that. I was like, all right, we'll take her.
Yeah. And it is funny because, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I'm obviously always going to be Czech. That's like my, you know, I kept my citizenship and always will. And, but the US community, you know, they embrace me and I feel part of that too. And I'm, you know, I'm always so happy when people are like, oh, but we're cheering for you. Even at Worlds, there was a big group of around the Squid Bikes crew coming from Sacramento. And, you know, I go and do the SAC races. And so these guys out there, you know, like we race the same course. And like, it's just cool to see people support me, even though I wear a different jersey.
Yeah. For, you know, all, some of our failings over here. I think one of the things that the U.S. cross community doesn't, and even mountain biking does a nice job about, is that they don't, they're not factional. You know, they'll cheer for most everyone, even if it's not the same team or the same country or whatever, which is kind of cool.
No, I really like the U.S. cross fan base and mountain bike fan base, and I've met so many great people, and I don't mind if people confuse me for US rider or just US based rider, whatever that might be, because it's like the more people cheering for you, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to move into just a little bit about your work that you've done, not inside the barriers, but outside of it, especially in cyclocross, with being on the UCI commission and a lot of really the progression that has happened in the time that you've been involved in that, especially with you know, women's racing and sort of getting closer to equality. I mean, what's the kind of, when did you start with this, and what's kind of that progression that you've seen, and what else do we still have work to do?
Well, there's always going to be work, you know, and I think that's the way it should be, because cycling's evolving and all these disciplines are evolving, and we as the society are also changing and evolving and you know, identifying what's okay and what's not. So there's always going to be work. But I think coming off USGPs and going to Europe for the first time, it was kind of an eye-opener, the big gap, because the mountain biking's been very much equal for most part since I've entered mountain bike scene. You know, like the teams were at the same places and obviously racing for Luna and having the support, having that opportunity, it was, you know, it was just shocking to go to Europe and not having the parking there and not, you know, having 1/10 of what the men were making. And but we still did it.
Even the schedule used to be awful, where the women were racing like 8 a.m. and then the men were racing at 2 p.m.
Right,
or something.
Right, right. Yeah, so, and I don't remember all the details, to be honest, you know. But so that was kind of the eye-opener. And then Georgia was sort of the one that started the pet- competition in the US and sort of kind of got things rolling. And so it was just like I think people weren't even aware, you know. I mean, we, like, I wasn't aware of all the rules when I was racing USGP because we were just treated equally. I think USGP paid equal prize money from early on in the series. So we were just like, oh, this is cross. And then suddenly that went away. And it was pretty obvious that the UCI rules weren't set up that way. And so, yeah, then you start just kind of doing little things here and there. And so my decision to do a little bit more, because I always felt like, you know, I've had great opportunities with Luna, and I was able to do a lot of things as a female athlete, hopefully inspiring other teams to support women. And so when the opportunity came up to run for the Athletes Commission, I was like, you know, I should probably give back. Because up to this point, I was, you know, apart from the little things, I was really just focused on my racing, you know, because I had the chance, you know, I had the team behind me and I could do it. And so I was like, you know, I don't race in Europe that much. I don't really have the tight connection with the European racers as I do with the US riders. So probably nobody's going to vote for me, you know, but I'm going to, you know, it's just going to feel good and I'll just do it. And then I got elected and it kind of spiraled into other things. I was added to the Cyclocross Commission, and then I ended up winning essentially the vote for the Athletes Commission to elect the president, which put me on the Management Commission. So I can't really say I just like chase any of this, like, you know, it was my dream to be involved in all these things. But now that I'm part of it, I really want to do a good job. And it's a good learning curve. And now we added Eva Lechner to the Cyclocross Commission.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, so Hanka started originally, and then she left. And so Eva was added. And then now we lost Sven Nys. And he's been replaced with Sven. He's a national team coach.
Oh, Van Tornout.
Yes, yes. So so we had a little bit of, you know, like people change on the commission a little bit. But I think that's okay, because we just need committed people. Like, we need people that are going to show up for the meetings and just be part of it. And it's a really good group. And I really enjoyed working with the UCI staff, because, you know, I didn't know much about UCI and until I started going there and just realized that people are kind of more like my age and not like a whole bunch of old men. And, you know, everybody speaks a whole bunch of languages, and they're just very passionate about what they're doing. And so that's been great to see. And, so yeah, so there's always work to do, and, I'm happy that they, you know, they listen to me and my feedback. And but the big thought here is that, you know, like, I want the athletes out there to know that I'm just not there to represent my ideas. You know, it's I'm just there for them. So there's things that I didn't vote on or disagreed on. But, you know, it's like, anytime you have something, come to talk to one of us and we'll be able to communicate back, you know. And so
is there something that you've heard sort of more that recently, any issues that are coming to you that athletes are seeing that they want addressed?
Yeah, I mean, I work closely with Simon Zanner, who's the male cyclocross representative on the Athletes Commission. So we work together. For him, being in Europe, it's a little easier because he gets to see a lot more, you know, course issues or things like that. I unfortunately didn't do a whole lot of cross last year, so didn't have as much like specific course feedback or events and stuff like that. But in general, there isn't a whole lot of communication coming from athletes, unfortunately, but athletes are now choosing kind of to tweet about stuff. So you always find out, sure. You know, even if you're not there, it's easy to find out what is going on. And so the biggest things we're sort of like dealing with moving forward is just adding junior category,
right.
How to fit everything in one day. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of complaints about the change schedule, you know.
Yep.
But people want that, and that don't want to give up on their training time slot. So it's just navigating all that and then learning about the fact that, you know, at these World Cups, it's all, and or any events, it's all volunteers. They need a break. They need to go get a lunch. You know, they're there from 7:30 to dark, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of the logistics of all of this, like I think we as athletes, we're just so used to showing up and have things for most part perfectly prepared,
right?
And we don't really know how we get how the race promoters they get there. You know, so to me that's been a big eye opener, just knowing every little details what goes into it, and that things just don't happen overnight, and it's just not as easy to add or change everything we would like to. You know, so being part of that process of like, how can we do it so it's the best? It's the lasting solution. It's it works for majority of people. All those issues, that's what we deal with all the time.
Yeah, one of the funny things for us, especially those of us who promote races in the U.S., and you know, we hear about this, about the, you know, adding a junior women's race and how that's, there's not going to be enough time, and it goes, that'll be what, like 6 races during the day, and we're like, we have like 15 races during the day. Mm-hmm. You know, we start at 7:30 in the morning and are going until the whole day, and every master's category and everything else is like, you can do 6.
Yeah.
6
yeah.
is possible.
For sure. And that's why, like, we have Brooke Watts on the commission, and it's great because his perspective is so different than the athletes or the UCI, you know, and it's great that we can sit down and figure it out. And understand the process from different perspective.
Yeah. And then we'll have, I guess it's another 2 years, and then World Cup prize money will sort of graduate to where it's all equal, which is great. The one thing that I saw recently and was making a little bit of a stink over was the team requirements with where it used to be you had to have one woman on a UCI cyclocross team, and now the rule this year in that little memorandum they sent out said one woman and one man.
Right.
And so, but it sounds like that may change, or there may be exceptions, or do you have any insight into what's going on?
Yeah,
with that?
I was in a conversation with actually John from Trek and Peter from the UCI, and as far as I know, that was the, you know, that was the suggested future, but there might have been changes to that. You know, I understand why they would want to keep it kind of like, if we're going to focus so much on the women's equality, like we got to do, you know, we have to be equal across the board. So I kind of get it. But at the same time, there's been, you know, obviously coming from Luna, all women's team, we just had all these sponsors and kind of the ideology behind the team. And, you know, that would be a bummer to take it away from teams that want to do that, you know, have all women specific team. But I do understand how it's not completely fair, you know, and we're talking the UCI registered team, right? Like if you have a cross team,
you're fine. Yeah.
You're completely fine. You can do whatever. It's just if you want to have that status of the UCI registered team. So I honestly don't know anything about the exceptions. We didn't discuss that at the last commission. So
I guess my looking at it is, it's, I can understand why in a perfect world, if everybody started equal, you want to continue being equal, but it seems like they're still, you know, we've had men's only teams for so long that they sort of have a running head start on it, and that time may come where you need, where you want everything. Or even, I think that somebody mentioned to me, which I could see, the time comes where you are, where all boats are equal, and then you can say, okay, if you want to have an all men's team again, fine. If you want to have an all women's team again, fine.
Right.
But right now, you know, we're not really there. You know, there's still
also
needs.
We're like kind of shifting away from these big teams, you know. We have a lot of individual racers just putting their own thing together, and they, you know, are they not gonna have an opportunity to ever be UCI trade teams, you know. So there's a lot of things to be answered, but the kind of interesting thing is that on the mountain bike side, it's staying the way as it was.
Right. Yeah.
It's not equal across the disciplines.
But I think with that, that's kind of what I was saying, where those women's teams like Luna and later Cliff and like Ghost are really popular teams, and they're able to exist. And that's that culture of mountain biking where they're already at that point. I just don't feel like cyclocross, especially sort of the Belgian-centric cyclocross, is right at that point where that equality exists, and you still need to tell the men's teams, hey, you need to support a women's program as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes with that for sure. Yeah.
So speaking of that, with the team that you are on, sort of going through some changes in that direction as well, what's it been like with this new look Cliff team?
Well, so we're just at the, you know, this is the beginning, although we kind of knew things are changing at the end of the last season. I personally am pretty excited that, first of all, that the team is continuing, because we've been around for a really long time, and I'm just pretty proud of the stuff we've done with the team and the results we've had over the years, and hopefully all the people, whether it's kids or women or, you know, even many guys, we hopefully inspire to get out on a bike and try some events or just ride for fun. And so it's pretty neat to see the commitment that Cliff Bar put into this team for all these years. And with the recent change, which is the biggest change for us, is just adding men to the team. I feel like that's a really cool fresh start and a nice way to sort of combine the two previous teams, because we all always had mountain bike team on the men's side, but we weren't like connected, you know, through sponsorship and all these things. So I think it does make sense, and I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. And we have a really fun group of people, and I'm kind of excited to get to know the guys. And then we have four women that are returning from last year, and we're kind of like doing a little bit of everything all over the place. So hopefully you follow us and see us in every kind of corner of this country, and still keeping a little bit of the international presence with like Catherine and Haley heading back to Europe and doing World Cups. So I think it's good. My schedule's not changing drastically, because I kind of been on the domestic side for last two summers. So it wasn't a drastic change to my schedule. I'm just happy to have more teammates to come along.
Yeah. So what do you got coming up? What's your next highlight race wise?
I have a few fun things this summer. Some of them are kind of my usual, but I am actually starting with a new event for me. It's called the Moab Rocks. 3-day stage race in Moabs, and then roll into Sea Otter, the epic rides. I'll do a little bit of gravel, for sure, Lost and Found, probably Sagan Fondo, maybe some other stuff. And then as far as summer, it kind of gets into the BC bike race, Downeyville, and new event for me, I got into the North Star EWS.
Oh, so fantastic.
I'll be doing some enduroing this summer and preparing for that, so I'm pretty excited.
Great.
And then as far as the late summer, early fall cyclocross season, that's kind of still something we're going to work on. The schedule is not set in stone. We're typically kind of focused on the mountain biking and then sort of shift the gear later on. So I don't really have a set schedule for that, but there's a lot of events between now and then. So
awesome. Well, we'll look forward to following you throughout the season, and thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it. Katarina Nash, great conversation. Glad that I was able to finally sit down and talk to her. I've been meaning to do that for a few years now. So great to have her on the show. If you follow Cliff Pro Team on Instagram, you can keep up to date on all of the goings on with that squad. I would ask that you do that as a personal favor to me. Go click Instagram, Cliff Pro Team. It'll be worth it. It'll be cool. Also, go to wideanglepodium.com. Become a member. Subscribe to all of our shows. If you donate a few bucks a month, it really helps us bring you conversations like the one I just had with Katarina and all of the other shows that are on the network, like Bike Shop CX and the Slow Ride podcast and the Consummate Athlete and the Gravel Lot. We're really, really, really excited about all of those shows and the content that they're putting out. And we're excited about our partnership with Roller Derby as well. I'd ask you to go to wideanglepodium.com, click on the Roller Derby link, check that out, see what it's all about. I think you're really going to enjoy the game. You can go study up on parimutuel betting and get in on all of the propositions that are on the site up for offer. If you become a member of Wide Angle Podium, you get bonus points to play the game. So there's your incentive to join. Coffee, Grimper Brothers, also available on wideanglepodium.com. Click on the link. Get that coffee sent to your door. Proceeds go back to Wide Angle Podium to help us continuing to do what we do. And finally, there was one more thing. Health IQ. HealthIQ.com/WAP. Go take the quiz. Qualify for life insurance. Find out more about this company. If you are shopping around for life insurance, they are going to get you lower rates. HealthIQ.com/WAP. See you next time, cyclocross friends.